welcome to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome to episode 281 of Rogue Startups. Craig, how are you this week?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. We had a great Mother's Day yesterday. We're talking on May 15th. So yeah, really nice Mother's Day. Got to spend some good time outside. The weather is finally beautiful here. So yeah, on that side of things, all cannons are firing, or all pistons are firing, I guess is the expression.
Depends on whether you're from the 1700s or the 1900s,
right,
I guess.
Right. Yep. How about you? How are things?
Things are good. You know, spring is springing around here, and my wife and I bought a new RV, so we are like obsessing constantly about things to get for it, things to put in it. We've like hung out inside of it a few times, just having a glass of wine and chatting inside of there. So we are very anxious to go on our first trip. And I am very excited that the weather has finally turned here, and I'm mostly done with all my repairs at this point. So it's pretty much time to head out on the trail. We're doing that for the first time next week.
So. Oh, that's awesome. Where are you all going?
We are. So this is going to be super lame. You know, I did that whole buildup, and now it's going to be a massive letdown. So we're going to a local state park that's about 20 minutes away from my house, and it is our quote unquote test trip.
Yeah, I think it's very smart.
Yeah, well, it's a used RV. It's not brand new. So I haven't had the opportunity to 100% validate all the systems in the RV yet. And you kind of have to go out on a trip to do that. Like,
yeah.
You're not going to dump the toilet unless you're at a place where you can dump the toilet. And let me tell you, that is not happening at your house. And if it can happen at your house, let me know so I can come over to your house and test this next time when I get another rig. But yeah. So, I mean, we're basically just going to go spend a night at this place. It's thankfully very close. We actually go paddleboarding there quite a bit, but they have a full hookup campground.
Yeah.
So we sprung for a night there. We're just going to get away from the kids and hang out for the night and enjoy life in our RV for a night, test everything out, probably have some wine, sit around a campfire, and all that good stuff. So
nice.
Yeah, not far. And then our first real trip is going to be after I get back from Spain. So we're taking our daughter on her high school graduation trip. That's her present to Spain. First time she's been to Europe. So we thought Spain would be a great place for her to get introduced to. And after that, we go on our first trip across the mountains to a place called Redstone in Colorado, which means nothing to most people listening to this here, but it's a great place, beautiful aspen forests. It's one of the favorite places that we like to go to, and they've got hot springs nearby. We like to go horseback riding. So it is very much a highlight of our June coming up. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
We're doing a bit of outdoorsing too. Last year we went, and we're going back to a place in Maine for Memorial Day, do a tent camping, not as fancy, but we have a Boy Scout, or Cub Scout. So we have to do tent camping still to show that we're not quite old yet. So yeah. trying to stay young for him. But no, it's cool. Yeah. Like you're talking about, it's like perfect weather for camping, just a great chance to get outside and enjoy. So yep. 'Tis the season.
Nice, nice. Are you going all the way up to Bar Harbor, or is this somewhere along the coast?
It's along the coast. It's in Kennebunk, so just like 30 minutes south of Portland. Yeah.
Yeah. I know exactly where that is. Yeah. So yeah, that'll be nice. It's beautiful there.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, Dave, I think this week we are waxing poetic about growth, potentially. And I think, following the theme, I hope, of the show is like sharing what we're going through, right? Like what we're winning with, what we're struggling with, and what we don't know. And I think for both of us, and I think for a lot of people, like growth has been less in the last couple of years. And I think some of it's macroeconomic. I think that's an excuse that some of us use as well. But either way, like it's a reality we have to face, and we're all trying to figure out how to grow faster and more sustainably. And I think we'll kind of chat through some of the things we're seeing and experiencing and experimenting with maybe today.
Yeah. I tell you, Now that I'm focusing on Recapture full time now, which actually I am a week away from my 2-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. I just realized that looking at the calendar here, which is awesome. Having been focused on the growth aspect for 2 years has given me a real perspective on the true difficulty of being the person in charge of that role and moving the business forward all the time. And then there's the question of the balance. Like the thing that I struggle with in growth and recapture is how long do I beat a tactic to death?
Yep.
Before I declare that it is not working, because not all of them work, and some of them work for a while and then they stop working. So is it just a lull, or if you kept going, would you get there? Or is it done? Is it all the way over? And that's one of the things I struggle the most with, I think, when trying working with or experimenting on any growth tactics that we're trying in Recapture.
How do you, and I think important here for us to just in this conversation is not to be too specific with what we're doing. Cause one, like, I don't want to share some things, but also two, it doesn't really relate to the listeners, right? So folks listening are like, hey, you know, your business and your channel is not exactly the same as mine. So like being ultra specific, I think is not as helpful, but like generally when you think about evaluating whether a channel is working, what numbers do you look at or what, yeah. How do you approach evaluating that? And I'll share how I do it, but yeah.
So for me, it really, well, I have two answers to this question. There's the way I used to do it and the way I do it now. So the way I used to do it was strictly about looking at revenue growth in general in the business. And I think that that was wrong. And the reason that it was wrong is that it sort of smears out the attribution. And fuck, attribution is hard. I mean, attribution sucks. So if you're trying to determine if a customer came from any channel, I don't care what that channel is, getting reliable, consistent,
accurate,
easy to understand data, accurate data, all of that shit is fucking hard. You know, I think I struggle with that more than anything. But putting that all aside for a second, which is his own whole episode, really, the thing that really sort of chaps my hide on all of this is that once you figure out that a person came from a particular channel, then you kind of have to set up these cohorts to understand, like, is this customer better than other customers that you have now? So there's this quality evaluation. Am I getting shittier customers or better customers? Are they bigger customers or smaller customers? Do they do more support? Do they do less support? Like all of these things that I'm trying to figure out here. And all of those are hard questions to answer on top of that. But mostly I'm now looking at a combination, to get back to your original question, installs and what kind of revenue that customer is contributing. So just because I got a customer, if I'm getting a bunch of low-tier customers and they all turn out in 6 months, it doesn't really do me much.
Yep.
But if I'm getting like a handful of really good, big, low-support customers, like those are awesome. I'll take those all day. But you know, then there's the whole question of, well, how much did I pay for those customers? And are they really worth it? And yes, they are super big, but is my CAC low enough for my LTV to make this profitable? And what's my payback period on the revenue? And just all these constant questions that I'm asking here. And it's hard to get good answers to that. That's the hard part of all of this, is getting answers to any of those questions. Forget about all of them together, which is really what you want. I mean, I don't know what you are looking for and what you want, but I like certainty, and you are working in a very uncertain probabilistic area here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, as you were talking through that, like, I don't even know any of those metrics. That's a terrible thing to say. I don't know my CAC. I know my LTV, but I don't know my CAC. I computed it once about a year ago for a couple months in a row. And, you know, at that time, my CAC to LTV was saying, like, we're not investing enough in customer acquisition, which means we could be more aggressive. But I haven't calculated in about a year. At the time when I was calculating it, though, it was kind of all the tools we use, all the, you know, marketing tools like Drip and fucking HubSpot and all this kind of stuff. And then like salaries or consultants, you know, and then like ad spend, if you have ad spend. Yeah. I don't track any of that stuff on a regular basis. Mostly cause like LTV literally hasn't changed in 5 years for us. Like it's exactly the same as it was when we started, which is like good and bad, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I look at like, is marketing working more from a global perspective first of like, are we growing? We're growing, fortunately, or we're not growing as fast as I want to. So then I start kind of saying like, where in the funnel do I feel like customers are we're either broken or we have the most opportunity, depending on if you're pessimistic or optimistic, you know, that's kind of how I look at it is like, okay, we're growing at pick a number, 5% a month, right? Okay. Are we growing traffic, you know, more than that? Or are we, you know, is conversion rate good? Is retention good? All that kind of stuff. And I haven't even gotten down to like the channel level yet when evaluating this. I don't know. Maybe I'm not thinking about it like deeply enough.
I don't know. I mean, I think the problem, so all those things that you were just talking about, you're looking at it from a bigger business-wide perspective, and I'm trying to like focus down on a specific channel.
Yeah.
And I think to do the right thing for your business, you really need to do both.
Right.
Because
and the fucking 87 other things that you have to do on a daily basis.
Well, of course, like, yeah, this is like one of 86 other things on your plate, right? So that to me is the really hard part is that I don't feel like I give it the attention that it truly needs.
Yeah.
And it really does require a lot of attention. And sometimes, and I'm jumping around all the time. So sometimes I'm like, oh, hey, wait, I got to look at the big business picture here. I know we've been focusing on this channel, but what about all of our other channels? Are we still seeing growth there? Do we see general expansion revenue? And for us, LTV is, we don't have a constant LTV, which is super weird to me sometimes because sometimes Profitwell will be like, oh, your LTV is way up. And then somebody will churn and it'll be like, oh, your LTV crashed. And it comes down like 600% or something like that. But then the next month it'll go up 800%. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
It's because of the expansion revenue and one big customer can sway it one way or the other. Hmm. So if I get a big customer that signs up and they're still going, like it slowly starts growing over time. But then if like one of my larger customers churns out, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's a lifetime in that customer. Boom, here's your ending number there. And then it goes back and recalculates stuff. And I'm like, what? So it does fluctuate a lot because of our expansion revenue, which is a little bit disturbing. So at this point, I've kind of like taken an average of a 12-month period. And I say, that's my LTV I should be kind of shooting for here. Because otherwise, the numbers just drive me nuts.
Yeah.
One of the few times I would say an average is probably a better move than what you see is your live data. But yeah, I mean, the push and pull of the global versus the channel local stuff. I struggle with that a lot in the growth stuff, tons of time. Cause I, you know, you just reminded me that a little while ago I set up this thing in Mixpanel for our onboarding to figure out, oh, well, what the hell is going on? And I realized I haven't checked that in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I've been focused on this other channel specific thing. And I'm like, oh crap. I wonder how that's doing now. Like, you know,
yeah.
You have to kind of have a pulse on all of it all the time, right?
Yeah. And I think that, no, that's exactly right. And I think that one thing that I've seen is we at Castos, and I think we all just generally try to do way too many things because we feel like we should, you know, like legit, there's like peer pressure and just like that internal voice to me that says like, well, you have to do like educational stuff and you have to have a YouTube channel and you have to do email marketing and you have to do nurturing and you have to do blogging and you have to do tools and you have to do all this kind of shit. Whereas like, I think the most, I think we do that because we don't know what the best thing is, right? So we're kind of hedging our bets and saying, we're going to just fucking do everything and see if by some chance we get lucky and we don't even know it, right? To your attribution point, like we don't even know it. But we feel like just doing a bunch of stuff makes us feel better. And we sleep at night saying, man, I'm working really hard on marketing. And like to some degree, some of it's working, but I don't know what that is.
Right. 50% of my marketing is working. I just don't know which 50%.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And like, I think there's a couple of problems with it. One, like attribution, of course, like you just don't know. Two, like lag, right? Unless you're talking about paid acquisition, like the lag of most other things are really long. Especially if you're talking about like LTV, right? That's not even like getting a customer. It's them staying for a period of time to where you can see like benefits and your metrics of them paying you money over time. And to where like we've scaled down the amount of stuff we do quite a bit. And I feel like we still do way too much. And I think it is because like, you don't know at the beginning what the right thing is. And as much as like, I hear people saying like, well, just test this thing, like just do it and test it and see what happens. Like, it's kind of hard to do in an established company that has a bunch of other stuff going on, you know, like to start, I'll use my shitty example of myself of like, I've been putting out a ton of like social content lately. And a lot of it is around podcasting and has made zero impact. And like, even that's like 2 months of work and like a pretty, pretty decent investment of like my time and like, you know, money and people and stuff like that, to see if it works. And then you're 2 months, that like, that's a pretty long time. You only get to make six of those bets a year, much less, you know, time to ramp them up and down and stuff. So I think that's the real challenge is like, we all know that focus is the most important thing and doing one thing really well over and over and over, but we don't know what that one thing is. And even admitting we don't know and saying, we're just going to test a bunch of stuff assumes that you can get an answer, whether it's good or bad, in like a timely manner to where you can make an educated decision based on data.
Right. And that gets back to my original point there about the whole growth thing. Like, how long do you keep doing that social tactic to say, this is just something I needed to put more time into, or it just doesn't fucking work, right?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't something that resonates with my audience versus I just haven't quite put enough time in there yet. You know, with posting and SEO, we were doing content marketing at one point and I gave up on it. And then later I came back to look and it was like, oh, it actually did resonate. It just took like 6 months to get there. I was like, oh, shit. All right. But then I left it aside because I didn't have the time or the budget to do it. Now I've come back to it at the beginning of the year. And again, I had to put it aside for some other things. And it's about that focus thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have enough hours in the day to get all the things done. And when I focus on one thing, I feel totally guilty that I'm leaving some good opportunities just laying all around me. And I still don't have confidence that the opportunity I am focusing on is truly the most important or the best or the one that's going to be the most successful until I've had some time to play with it. And then it's too late, right? Because then you have run 2 months, 3 months, whatever, 4 months, and then you can only make six, four, or three of those bets in a year. And for us, it's also about timing because there is a time when people are moving and switching stores and there's a time that they're not.
Right.
And when you are in that not time, it's like you're sitting around kind of twiddling your thumbs waiting for them to start wanting to move again. And you're like, oh, fuck. Well, what am I going to do next? So, yeah, it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah. I obviously don't have any answers. I mean, I think this is just hopefully like interesting and helpful for us to talk through how we think about, frankly, struggle with with a lot of this stuff for because I think there's a fair amount of like social aspect to it, right? Just the kind of social media and the pressures of, you know, these people talking about, oh, I did this cold email campaign and booked 27 calls and all this kind of stuff. Like, one, you only see the good stuff. You don't see all the bad stuff, you know? And then two, like that person's context is always different than yours. And so like to be able to say, hey, they did this thing, I should be able to as well, is like totally unfair. And then three, like I think a lot of it comes down to the execution, you know? It probably is true that all of us can win in most channels if we execute on it well. And that's a big if, you know? Like, executing on a channel is like the skill and the strategy and the discipline to do it well and do it well over time. And I think that's just like, that's a bigger thing than we all like give it credit for, you know?
The other thing that I've noticed a lot on social media in particular, and I don't know if this is true in the podcasting space as much as it is true in the email marketing space, is the bullshit factor. There are so many fucking liars out there that are talking about, oh, I made such and such revenue from this one campaign. DM me the hand wave emoji and I'll send you the details. And it's like some half-baked playbook that they basically regurgitated that they picked up from some $79 course that they just scraped off of somebody else's website.
Yeah.
And there's so much of that that's going on in the email marketing space. I mean, it's just it's predictable at this point. When I'm scrolling through my feed, I follow so many email marketers, and then some of them either follow other email marketers that are like that, or they themselves are like that. And I just see that content getting regurgitated again and again and again. And I'm like, does that even fucking work? Does that, you know, are you getting followers from that? Does that translate into sales? Do you get people to sign up for it? Because it just seems so repetitive. And I mean, it must be working at some level, but at the same time, like you just said, you put all that time and effort into a social campaign for 2 months and you're like, I didn't get much out of it. And these guys are like hammering it all the time. So maybe they just are like, hustle, hustle, hustle. I got to hustle harder, you know? And they're still doing it. You can't tell. That's the hard part. You just can't tell if those things are working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks. That totally sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also,
I mean, I think
also if you're one of those thread boys on Twitter, please stop. Just please.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. It sure is challenging. I mean, I think that I take solace in the fact that, like, I talk to a lot of founders, you know, like, and everyone struggles with this, you know, like everyone to some degree struggles with, like, what do I focus on? What's the highest ROI? What does the company need? Cause that, now we're not even talking like marketing. It could be like product, you know, it could be, you need features and you need stuff and reliability and UX and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Dave. I did a personality test called Working Genius recently. So there's six different types of Working Genius. There's like personality traits. There's wander, invention, discernment, galvanizing, enablement, and tenacity. And you can kind of, you can figure out what all those mean. And it came back that like mine was, my two were like discernment and enablement. Enablement I get, because I like being team player and a, you know, boss and coach and founder and all that kind of stuff. And discernment really got me, because it's not what I like, but it's what I have to do, because otherwise we got a bunch of wonder and invention people who just want to go do stuff, you know? And it's always me saying, well, what's the ROI of this? What's our expected outcome? What confidence do you have that this is going to be the right bet for us with fucking product and development and marketing and sales and operations and, you know, production services. So I just thought it was funny that, like, it's not me, but it's who I have to be, to where we're not just a bunch of people going around doing whatever we want and nobody's thinking about, like, hey, what's the value of this, you know?
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to send me a link to that test, because now I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. WorkingGenius.com. I'll send it to you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And anybody in the audience, please take that test and share it with us and tell us if it's a surprising result to you as well. That would be interesting to know.
And the cool thing about it is, like, it's not just you, but then think about hiring, and you're wanting to hire someone, and you're like, okay, I need, like, for me, if I wanted to hire a marketing person, okay, it's got to be a complementary personality type to me, because, like, I don't need another, you know, discernment person, maybe, you know, or whatever. I need someone who can, like, dream up good campaigns and then execute on them, right? So they're like either end of the spectrum, where I'm kind of in the middle. So yeah, it's not just for you and knowing yourself, it's like knowing the people you have on the team and then where the gaps, because, like, not just functional gaps, it's like personal or personality gaps that you want to fill.
Yeah fascinating.
Yeah,
fascinating.
Pretty cool.
I mean, maybe you do want that discernment person. If you don't want to be the discernment person anymore, clearly you need one. So
right.
Maybe
that's where,
that's
like
somebody else. I don't know.
Chief of operations or something could come in. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. So speaking of personality types, that reminds me of something that kind of stuck in the back of my mind from MicroConf this year and talking to some founders afterwards. I've noticed a pattern, I guess you could call it. And this pattern, so I'm also a volleyball coach for my youngest daughter. And I noticed that this pattern also holds true for teenage girls as well. It probably holds true for the entire human population, but I'm drawing from the groups of humans that I've had the most contact with recently here, of course. And that is, there is this, I'll call it coachability. There's this ability for some founders to have a reasonable amount of tenacity, talking about your personality trait before, to say, I'm going to stick with something here. I have this idea. I'm going to just carry it through to the end, versus somebody who can also look at where they're at in a journey and listen to somebody else's advice about where they're at in that journey and suddenly realize they're not where they want to be, they're not where they should be, or they're on a path that's going to send them in a direction that is just not a happy place. And so I call that coachability. And I'm noticing that founders tend to, especially new founders that I've met in the space lately, they tend to stick to the tenacity side of things. And I find that really fascinating because I had several conversations either at MicroConf or afterwards where I was talking with somebody and they were describing where they were at. And I saw some yellow or red flags coming up in that data. And so I pointed them out and I said, hey, have you thought about this? Is that something that concerns you, worries you, bothers you? And they're like, nah, I'll figure it out down the line. Like, it's not a big deal right now. Or, oh, I've already thought about that. It's not a thing. And they just kind of swept it aside. Like, my concern was invalid, unimportant. Yeah. Shut up, old man. Get off my lawn. And I should be telling it the other way around. But yeah, it was one of those things. And I found that kind of strange. But at the same time, it's also pretty common in our space. It seems like in order to be that entrepreneur and to endure that constant battering of, are you sure you can do that? You can't do that. Come on. Mm-hmm. You should just give up and go back to your 9-to-5 job. That's just crazy. You're never going to get through that idea. That's insane to go spend money on that. There's a certain amount of that you need. But at the same time, like if you've been beating your head against the wall, your forehead is just a bloody mess, and you resolve to yourself, well, I'm just going to do it for another week and we'll see what happens after you've been doing it for 2 years. Like, wait a minute, maybe that's not a smart idea anymore here. And you have some data, the bloody forehead and the patch of concrete on the wall that is mostly red and not changed whatsoever, that maybe this isn't the right move. And you know, what is your experience with that?
Yeah. So I think it's really interesting, like, cause it is a balance, right? Like you need to be coachable enough to continue learning, especially for people that have gotten some traction, you know, then you start thinking, oh, I know everything. And that's like probably the most dangerous. When we start, we're super coachable cause we don't know anything. And so we're just in learning.
Oh, mode. Yeah.
And then as we go along, I think there's a phase where we think we know everything. And then I probably at this point, and really only in the last year, have gotten out of that stage to where I think I know nothing again, which is awesome. Because I consider myself pretty coachable now. But yeah, I think it's this kind of pendulum that we swing on. You know, it's like you start being super coachable, you get to a point, and you kind of need to be because you're in the desert, right? You quit your job and you're going all in on this thing and you just got to make it work and you don't know, and you don't know what you don't know. And you just got to deal with it. Right. And just go through the shit until you get to the other side. I think you got to be in that phase, you got to be kind of coachable, but you mostly just need to be heads down and you stick with the bad decisions you made and just make it work. Right. I think that's not a bad thing. And then you get on the other side and you have the freedom and the time and the mental space maybe to say, okay, now like I'm default alive. We can take a look at this and we can, you know, work smarter. That's a little of how I've done it. And I think it's not totally wrong, but maybe that just means I'm not coachable. I don't even realize that my way of doing things is wrong. But I think that like you definitely need that bullheadedness just to get through stuff, because if not, and you're so coachable, then influences like social media and your peers and people that are saying they're killing it are going to pull you in a million different directions. And that's not healthy because you got to stick with something.
Right. Yeah. You can't be 100% coachable because then everything's going to sway you and you'll never get anything done. And you can't be 100% tenacious because you're going to get on a track. And if it's the wrong track, you're totally fucked. Yeah. So, I mean, it has to be somewhere in between. And yeah, I mean, the thing that really sort of made me realize, the more I see this in my life, the more I try to remind myself of it. Multiple big snows I've gone to where a suggestion was made, I was at there and I kind of just mentally rejected it out of hand because I thought, oh, they don't know what's going on with my business. And this has happened over multiple years. It hasn't been that recently. But then 3 to 6 months later, I'll come back and then I'll realize that there was deep wisdom in whatever that comment was. And suddenly I'm in a better place. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because the data changed. Maybe it's because I changed or I've softened, or now like my mental thinking has come around to like get to the point where that idea suddenly makes more sense to me. And then I go, oh man, I really should have considered that sooner. So nowadays, you know, I feel like I kind of end up in this default no thing when I hear suggestions a lot of the times. And, you know, maybe it's just being a dad with my kids and they're bombarding me with random stuff like, hey, let's go. Can we stay up all night and drink root beer and, you know,
yeah,
blow peanuts out of our nose? I'm like, no, that's just dumb. And I, obviously I'm not saying yes to things like that now. Let me just be clear. My kids do not drink root beer all night, stay up till midnight and blow peanuts out of their nose now because I've reconsidered that and I'm somehow coachable. But, you know, like I think for me, this is my personality. Like that's how I worked. And so now when I resist an idea, I stop and maybe I don't realize it right away, but within 24 hours now, I usually go, was there something to be had there? And I missed it because I went to default no.
Yeah.
Or was I right? You know? And a lot of times I find myself coming back like, oh, you know, there was something to be had there. So I've noticed that in the last few big snows, I've had conversations where I might have given some resistance to whatever the discussion was initially. And then the next day we'll be talking about it again. And it'll be like, yeah, I thought more about that. And I think you're right, but I have some questions about this because I'm not sure about X, Y, and Z. And, you know, then we get to dig deeper into it instead of me just throwing up a wall. And so I think that is super healthy entrepreneurial behavior. And I think that if you are like me and you're doing the wall thing all the time, saying no to somebody else's advice, you know, maybe you can say, look, yeah, I'll consider that and then come back to it 24 hours later and then be like, okay, well, I thought about it and I did think about that before. Mm-hmm. And here's why it doesn't work, because of reason A. Or here we tried it previously and it's, you know, reason Q that resulted in that. So we know that that's not a fit for us or something like that. Like base it on the data, base it on some thinking, some analysis or something. But yeah, I mean, the ones on my daughter's volleyball team, not this current season, but the last season, they thought they all like knew everything. And I was trying to teach them some different ways to try something. And they were, you know, they said, oh, I totally know this technique, and whether it was setting or bumping or hitting or whatever it was. And I was like, well, okay. So if you really knew it, you'd be hitting it 100% of the time and you're getting maybe 33%. So maybe we can try something different. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm above that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So they weren't coachable, but now this team that I have this season, I'm like, I sit down and I say, all right, look, I want you to try it this way. I know you may have heard this somewhere else. And they look at me and they're like, okay, sure, I'll try it. No resistance on that. You know, they try it, they practice it. And for some of them, it works. And for some of them, it doesn't. So I see some of them improving and then others that are coming back like, hey, this didn't work. What am I doing wrong? Or, you know, can I do something else? Or so they've turned it into a curiosity thing. And I think that is an important lesson that we should all be trying to cultivate in our entrepreneurial lives, is less resistance, more learning. And, you know, are you coachable enough? You know, not 100% coachable.
Yeah. I think it's great advice. I don't have anything else to say on that. I think it's hard to at the same time be tough, like we have to be, and be coachable. And I think that more success should breed more curiosity and learning, you know, and I think it does, but I think there's a hump you have to get over to get there first. And it sounds like maybe you just have two kind of different levels of success or experience on those teams. And that's why they are kind of like they are. But I think when it comes to founders, like, yeah, I think we got to put up that tough facade just to get through this, you know? And I think the other part of it is we only should be learning from people who know what the hell they're talking about. And that's not always the case. You know, like we only should be learning from people who have done a thing, not read a blog post on it. And so like, I think that if you only, maybe this can kind of lower the mental overhead of knowing when to listen and when not to, is just saying like, does this person know what the fuck they're talking about? And like, what quantitative hard data do I have that they're probably qualified? Like that kind of is the right beginning filter for me, I guess.
Yeah. You don't want to get volleyball coaching from Bozo the Clown. You want Gabriela Reese coming in coaching your team. And if you don't know who the hell Gabriela Reese is, she's former Olympic volleyball player for the U.S. women's team back in the 90s. Amazing woman, very truly top tier athlete. So you want somebody like that, right? You want the Rob Wallings and the Ruben Gomez's and the Dan Martells and the Josh Pickfords, the ones who have been in the arena, done the battle. You don't want the rando that's like, oh yeah, I read a book about that, so this must be the answer to everything, you know, the golden hammer syndrome.
Exactly.
Yeah. Too much of that out there too.
Yeah, I'm afraid. And it's tough to tell it apart sometimes too. You know, folks are pretty convincing on social media.
Yeah.
Well, I hope this is helpful. You know, one just kind of, you know, hearing Dave and I chat through how we evaluate / struggle with growth, and knowing what to focus on and what to prioritize, and then really, you know, kind of related to how to take input from others and have it be constructive and like productive in our businesses. And we'd love to hear from everyone else. Like what are you doing to focus and to prioritize smartly, what you should be working on and what you shouldn't. I think both are really important. You know, shoot us a message, podcast@roguestartups.com, hit Dave or I up on Twitter. And we'd love to hear from you. And as always, if you're enjoying the show, please share it with someone who you think would enjoy it as well. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.